I'd like for you to turn your Bibles, please, to two passages of Scripture. The first is Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. Mark's Gospel, chapter 15. Mark's Gospel, chapter 15. The second is going to be in 1 Peter, chapter 3. Brother Jeremy and Brother Freddie will recognize these two passages. They spoke from them in the breaking of bread service this morning. I want to let them know that I didn't compose the message since then. This message was written, or at least the work done on it prior to this morning. And yet God in His grace, as by His Spirit, caused them to be led to the place where my heart was being led as well. Mark 15, chapter 15, verse 1. And straightway in the morning the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council and bound Jesus. I want you to remember those words. They bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answering said unto him, "Thou sayest it." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." But Jesus answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. But the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call king of the Jews? And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And I think this is the verse that Brother Jeremy used this morning. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Just one verse. Verse 18. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. But Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." Now I'm sure God will bless to our hearts the public reading of his precious word. They found Barabbas in prison, bound. He was a murderer, according to the verses that we have read together. He, in his insurrection, in his raising his voice against the authorities, had committed robbery and murder and was in prison awaiting his death. Jesus was bound while or just after he was praying. We didn't read it, but you'll find it in John's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 12. That crowd that came from the chief priests from the temple found Jesus just as he was finished praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they bound him. And he had never killed anyone. As a matter of fact, he was the author and sustainer of life. They bound him probably with fetters. And then they bound him by nails to the cross. And then he was bound by cords of love for you and for me. You see, the ropes or fetters were not able to hold him. He could have wished them away, and they would have gone, because he is an omnipotent God. The nails couldn't hold him. He made the nails. They would have gone at his bidding. But love could hold him, and it did. Because that was his love. That was a part of his being that, and that held him to the cross, the love that he had for you and for me. We want to look tonight at Barabbas and Jesus and you. Barabbas and Jesus and you. The insurrectionist, the murderer, the thief, the evil, sinful man, Jesus, the Son of the Living God. And then I want you to consider where you are tonight if you're here without the Lord Jesus. You have an appointment with him. There is coming a day when God will judge the world in righteousness, the Bible says, by that man whom he hath ordained, the Lord Jesus. If you don't meet him now as your Savior, you'll meet him that day as your judge. When you meet him, God has graciously allowed you to decide. I must warn you that there are conditions attached to that. Nobody can come except the Lord calls them. Someday he'll call for the last time. Barabbas was a murderer. He had taken the life of another, probably a Roman, since he was in the business of fighting against the Roman authorities, because he was more than likely what they called a zealot, a man who spent his life trying to pull Jerusalem and Israel out from the bondage of Rome. Rome had come in, and as a conquering nation had defeated Israel, taking it over. Their governor was there. Their king was there, Herod, appointed by Caesar anyway. They were allowed some central and local government, because the chief priests and those still exercise some civil and religious authority, but by and large they were subservient. They were under a foreign power, and the zealots didn't like that. They attacked them undercover, you would call it. And in the course of one of those activities, Barabbas was seized, and in our story, he was found in prison. And if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus, so are you. But you say, I'm very free. I can get up and I walked in. I'm going to walk out when the meeting is over. Oh, you're bound by something much stronger than the shackles that Barabbas was bound with. He was bound by the shackles that you're bound with as well. The shackles of sin. Started a long time ago. You were born in sin, and so was I. But not only are we sinners by nature, we're sinners by practice. Little by little over the course of your life, you have practiced sin until tonight. You'll find it very, very difficult, impossible to break the shackles of sin, except by the Lord Jesus. Barabbas was also awaiting execution. He was going to die this day, very likely. Do you know when you're going to die? Are you going to wait until the shackles of sin that are holding you will deceive you until you're in a crisis eternity? That's what will happen if you don't trust the Lord Jesus. Perhaps this man, Barabbas, was the bad boy of the town. Certainly sounds like it. We hear nothing of him until we hear the story of read the story of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, and yet he's all over the place. He's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John doing something or the other that's bad. Perhaps he was the one that you'd go to if you wanted to do something that was evil when he was a boy. Perhaps he was fearless. He was probably always in trouble. Very strange, because his name means son of the Father. Bar Abbas. Remember, Bartimaeus was the son of Timaeus. Simon Peter was Bar Jonas. Simon Bar Jonas, lovest thou me? Simon, son of Jonas. Barabbas was son of the Father. As far as he was concerned, today, this day, his life was going to end. He will, according to the authority of Rome and in the words of the dying thief, he was going to receive the due reward of his deeds. That central cross was probably for him. So you can imagine what was on his heart as he heard footsteps along the corridor of his cell that day. He had been waiting for them. He expected them. He understood that he deserved what he was going to go through. The Bible doesn't say that, but I think we all have an ability to know that what we do is a breaking of God's law. But he wasn't told he was going to die. He was told that a man called Jesus was going to die in his place. It was something other along with the shock. It was something that thrilled his soul. Somebody was going to die for him. And that man, he had heard about the man that had murdered no one. They came and bound him. The one who came to set men free had his freedom taken away. And the one who deserved to be bound was set free. Strange story, isn't it? Innocent, bound, and sentenced to death. Guilty, set free. The one whose head deserved both the crowns of men and the crowns of heaven as King of kings and Lord of lords was crowned with thorns. I heard Brother Sam McHale describe those thorns. He looked it up and came up with the conclusion that they were 3 to 5 inches long, and as they set into the brow, the head of the Lord Jesus, they would have pierced the skin and almost immediately started to fester. His head and brow would have been feverish in a very short time and swollen. And that would have continued until his death. He was the one who rules in supreme majesty. And so they gave him a scepter. They found a broken piece of stick somewhere and they put it in his hand. And then they pulled it out of his hand and they hit him over the head, driving that crown of thorns into his blessed brow. We sing, royal robes shall soon invest thee, royal splendors crown thy brow. We're so glad we can sing that. We know that's true because God's word says so. And we have, as believers, have invited him into our hearts, and we shall share that glory with him. But that's not what happened that day. They crowned him in mockery. They put on him a purple robe and mocked him. He could say prophetically, I hid not my face from shame and spitting. They stripped off his clothes. The Bible says he endured the cross, despising the shame. They gambled those clothes away beneath his cross. And he did that so that we might be clothed in his righteousness, so that we might not have to stand naked before God. You will one day, you know, if you die without him. There will be nothing hid from the eyes of the one with whom we have to do. And he did that for us, who like Barabbas was defiled by sin, so that we one day might have on a garment of pure white. The hymn writer put it this way: through the gates to the city, in a robe of spotless white, he shall lead me where no tear shall ever fall. Through the glad song of ages, I shall mingle with delight, but I want to meet my Savior first of all. And then they crucified him. The Bible says, cursed is every one that hangeth upon a tree. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He bore our curse, the curse that came upon us because we were separated from God by sin. We were cursed and would endure the curse of God for all eternity. He bore it for us, cursed so that we might be blessed. The Bible says that he was numbered with the transgressors. You know, he deserved better than that. Made his grave with the wicked, the transgressors, and was with the rich in his death, because he had done no deceit and no guile was found in his mouth. But he hung on his cross between two thieves, that we who are transgressors might be righteous. And while he was dying, they mocked him and teased him that he had lied when he said God was his father. And in the throes of death, they teased him, so that when we one day will pass through that valley, the Bible says we will fear no evil. Through his condemnation, our freedom. And we say, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. We understand that what he did that day was for nothing that he had done. He looked down through time. He looked down beneath his cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he looked down through time and saw you and me here in this meeting tonight. Would you say, maybe he didn't see me individually? He is the omniscient, all-knowing God. He saw you just as clearly, much more clearly than I do. Consciously was aware that you would be here tonight when he died. And so he allowed them to kill him so that he might bring you back to his Father. And we say, how could this happen? A murderer go free? How could an innocent man be crucified? You know, everything they did that day was, almost everything they did that day was illegal. They tried him by night. That's against Jewish law. You have to be tried by day. They tried and sentenced him in the same day. That's against Jewish law. You have to be tried one day and at least 24 hours before you can be sentenced, so that anything that was missed during the trial, there would be an appropriate amount of time given for that to be brought to light. They couldn't condemn you the same day that they tried you, but they did it to Jesus. They condemned him on his own testimony. That's illegal. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, says the law. But they couldn't get their witnesses to agree. They broke the law by paying witnesses to lie. And since they couldn't get them to agree, they asked him, was he the Son of God? And he said, yes, I am. And as a result of that, they said, he is worthy of death. And so Pilate sentenced an innocent man to death. Not an innocent man that he thought might be innocent. He said, I find no fault in him. I have examined him. I have questioned him. There is nothing worthy of death in him. And he surrendered him to their will. And then they scourged him and took him out to crucify him. In his zeal to silence man, in his zeal to silence the voice and the life of the Son of God, they sought him out by night, bound him with fetters, ushered him into a mockery of a trial, the like of which was never known before, nor has ever been known since. And the one they arrested so unlawfully, and the one they rejected so scornfully, according to God's word, is the judge of the universe. The Father said, I am not going to judge. I have given all judgment unto the Son. How is it that the judge is on trial since he is sinless? How is it and why is it that he's bleeding since he himself is harmless? Why is he dying since he is the giver and sustainer of life? That's what the title that Peter gave him. The day was the day that the man had been healed who was sitting at the beautiful gate of the temple. And when the crowd came, Peter saw an opportunity to preach the gospel. And he says, you denied the Holy One and the Just One and desired a murderer, Barabbas, to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life. That expression, that term means the giver of life, whom God hath raised from the dead. How? Well, we know a man could do it, man who is sinful. But how could God, looking down from heaven, allow wicked men to free a murderer? His own law said that he who sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And how could he allow man who was sinful release a murderer and kill his own son, who was sinless and undefiled and holy and spotless? And the answer is simple. Two words, one with three letters and one with two. You and me. That's why God allowed it. He was delivered, according to Peter, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. No, God didn't put sin in any man's mind, but he knew what was going to happen. And in his determinate counsel, he was going to use their sin for man's greatest good. So he says he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. But he didn't stop there. He said, I want you to know where the blame is, but ye by wicked hands have crucified and slain him. The answer to that question, how could God allow it, was his love for you and for me. You see, you and I had been separated by our sin from God. Isaiah 59 and 2 says, your iniquities have separated between you and God. And the only one that can bridge that gap that has been made by that separation is Jesus. You can pay for your sins. Take you a long time. Take you all eternity. All alone in the burnings. The only person that can bring you back to God and forgive your sins is the Lord Jesus. And like Barabbas, you and I are worthy of death because we live under the curse of a broken law. God's law is broken. The law says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Barabbas knew he was guilty. He knew he was justly condemned. And so do you. And so do I. And the only way you and I will ever be forgiven is if we agree with God that we are guilty and deserving of death. That's one step in the right direction. We'll see in a moment that's what the thief said. If you don't agree with God that you are guilty, lost, and hell deserving, you will draw yourself out from the freedom that his death offers to you. Because death must come, and death came in the person of the Lord Jesus. So if you don't want to die, you've got to go to him for his life. And he offers it freely to you tonight. You see, if you don't believe that you deserve death, you won't accept his life. You can see a man drowning out in the creek. And you can throw a lifeline to him. And if you can't persuade him that he's drowning, he'll leave that lifeline right there within his reach. You won't be able to help him. If Barabbas had said to the approaching soldier, you said that I'm free. No, I've decided I'm going to work this out by myself. You'd say, no, take the chance. Take hold of the opportunity. If they turn around, you'll die today. Well, maybe he didn't say that. Maybe he wouldn't have thought that. Maybe he would have said, I'm going to wait until tomorrow. Come back next week. Come back next month. I like it here. And you say, but he wouldn't say that. But that's what you're saying. If you are living in your sins, you say, I like my sins more than I like him. And I don't want to be saved now. Come back tomorrow. Where will you be tomorrow? What will you say tomorrow if the offer of mercy is closed? You have to agree that you're a sinner, but you also must agree that Jesus is perfectly innocent and is the only answer. He is, you know. He is perfectly innocent, perfectly holy. God says so. Twice he opened the windows of heaven so that men would hear on earth and said, I want you to look at him. He is my son. I find all my delight in him. The holy God said that about Jesus. His enemies said, no man spake like this man. They sent them to trip him up so that they could find something with which to accuse him. And they said, we've never heard anybody speak like him. We can't trip him up. Pilate's wife said to Pilate, have thou nothing to do with this just man? I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And Pilate himself said, I find no fault in him. Judas the betrayer said, I have deserved innocent blood. But I like what the thief said on the cross. He covered everything that you need to do tonight to be saved. He turned to his fellow thief and he said, we deserve the due reward of our deeds. We're getting what we deserve. In other words, I'm a sinner. I deserve to be here on this cross. He agreed that the Lord Jesus was holy and spotless. He said, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And then he turned to Jesus in childlike faith, he said, and with awful pain on his body, he said, Lord, remember me. It doesn't sound like an eloquent theological prayer, does it? It's just a heart broken before God, aware of sin, asking for forgiveness. And that's all he asks of you and me tonight. Barabbas had undoubtedly heard about the man of Galilee. Barabbas, according to the Bible, was a notable prisoner. The Lord Jesus, according to the Bible, was a notable teacher. Much more than that. But in Barabbas' eyes, he would have heard about the man of Galilee, heard that he had turned water into wine, healed the sick, even raised the dead. But today he probably wasn't considering Jesus. He was thinking about his execution. Sinner friend, is that what you're thinking about tonight, or do you feel that you have all the time in the world? If you don't turn to him, you will pay for your sins in hell. You won't go to hell because you stole or because you lied or anything that you did. You'll go to hell because you rejected and turned your back upon Jesus. And then in hell, you'll be punished according to your sins. Where their, T-H-E-I-R, their worm, specially made by God to suit your sin. Their worm dieth not, and their fire is not quenched. I would imagine from that day onward, Barabbas would have told everybody that he saw, Jesus died for me, you know. You say, was Barabbas saved? I don't know. But literally, physically, Jesus died for Barabbas, and it would have been so ungrateful if he had not recognized it. Jesus died for me. That's all you have to say tonight. We read in 1 Peter chapter 3, Christ was once offered for sins, the just for the unjust. That's what we've been saying tonight. You and I are like Barabbas, unjust. He is the just one. And he was offered that he might bring us to God. There was never a clearer demonstration of the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus than Jesus and Barabbas, except for you and me. He died. For me, it's strange that Barabbas' name was Bar, son, Abba, father, son of the father. But he didn't live up to that. The true son of the father died for him. The story is told, and it's a true story, of a teacher made application to a school where no teachers could stay. They actually beat them, the teachers, before him. And when he applied, the director asked him or told him, young fella, do you know what you're asking? An awful beating. Every teacher that comes for years has had to take it. And the teacher said, I'll risk it. He appeared on duty for duty the first day, and a big boy named Tom told his friends, he says, I can take him by myself. I don't need your help. The teacher said, good morning, boys. We have come to conduct school, and they yelled at the top of their voices. And then in wisdom he said, now I want a good school, but confess I don't know how unless you helped me. Suppose we have a few rules. You tell me and I'll write them on the blackboard. Somebody shouted, stealing. And so he wrote it down. Somebody shouted, on time. And he wrote it down. He got 10 written down and he said, you know, a law is no good without a penalty in case the law is broken. And one boy shouted, 10 lashes across the back without the coat. He said, that's very severe. And they said, go ahead. A couple of days later, Tom, the big fella, found that his lunch was missing. Went and told the teacher. The next day they found who stole it. It was a boy named Jim. And so the teacher told Jim to come up for his beating. The little fellow came, a boy of 10, trembling, with a big coat fastened up to the neck. And he pleaded, oh, teacher, you can lick me as hard as you like, but please don't make me take my coat off. Take it off, was the reply. Don't make me, teacher. And he began to unbutton, and when he did, the teacher beheld a little boy with no shirt on, with strings holding up his trousers, and a little bony body. How can I beat this child? He thought. But I must do something if I'm going to keep this school. How come you don't have a shirt on, Jim? My father died, sir. My mother is very poor. I only have one shirt to my name, and she's washing it today. So I put on my big brother's coat to keep warm. And the teacher didn't know what to do. Big rod in his hand, hesitated, just long enough to hear a voice. The voice was Big Jim's. Teacher, may I take Jim's licking for him? Yes, said the teacher. There is place in the law for substitution. And so Big Jim came up and took off his coat. And that big rod came down. And when the fifth stroke was made, the rod split in the teacher's hand. The teacher bowed his head in his hands, not knowing what else to do. How can I continue this? He thought. He didn't have to. The whole room was sobbing. He looked up and there was Jim with his arms around Tom's neck. And this is the words that he was saying. Tom, I was awful hungry. Tom, I'll love you till the day I die for taking my licking from me. Yes, I'll love you forever, Tom. Tom didn't do anything for Jim compared to what the Lord Jesus has done for you and for me. He took our beating for us. He took our scourging for us. In such a way that he made provision for our eternal salvation. And all you have to do is put your arms around him and tell him that you'll love him forever. And he'll save you. The wages of sin is death. But that's only a half the story. The gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you like to be saved tonight? You have only to do what the thief did. Confess your sin. Forsake your sin. Acknowledge Jesus Christ as Savior and invite him into your heart. He'll be yours for time and for eternity. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus took our beating for us. I sometimes think the writer could say about the cross, and shut my eyes and try to see the cruel nails and crown of thorns and Jesus crucified for me. Help some poor lost sinner to be able to make that application to his heart or her heart tonight. The Lord Jesus loved me and gave himself for me, we pray, as we give you our thanks for him and for Calvary in his own precious name.